Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this very special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 13th of March, 2016, as we discuss the NCAA tournament. The brackets are out, and we have a lot to talk about in regards to the releasing of the brackets or leaking of the brackets. Plenty to talk about that, as CBS should absolutely be embarrassed. Of course, I'm your host, Cyril Gerald Quinn, taking for the next 60 minutes as we discuss the NCAA tournament. We'll have Final Four picks, toughest region, bubble burst. There really wasn't any teams that shouldn't have got in, or teams that should be, you know, crying right now. But we'll talk about the ones that could possibly be not feeling too good right now about the fact that they're going to be in the NIT. That and much, much more as we discuss on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram at Riddle Gerald Quinn, at Riddle Gerald Quinn. When the program's over, you can rate and review the program, probably, you know, give it about 24 hours, but you can go to itunes.apple.com to rate and review this particular program. We prefer 5 stars, but we'll certainly take 4. And any questions, comments that you may have about the program, feel free to give me your 2 cents. For the number one seeds, really wasn't a surprise. North Carolina in the East, you had Kansas in the South, Virginia in the Midwest, and Oregon in the West. I know a lot of people were talking about Michigan State possibly getting a number one seed, having won the Big Ten tournament, and having and right now Michigan State is the odds-on favorite, the Vegas favorite, to win the entire tournament. They're playing well down the stretch. Experience. Of course, we know what Izzo is as a tournament coach. He's been 7 Final Fours over the course of his illustrious career. But Oregon, you know, all around had a better resume. You know, you, on a neutral floor or anywhere, I would pick Michigan State to beat Oregon, but that's not how these number one seeds and these teams are chosen at times. So I had no problem with that. Even though I'm not in love with Oregon, I'm not in love with the Pac-12 in general. But, you know, going by the quote-unquote metrics, you know, top 50 wins, all this, strength of schedule, stuff like that, seems like Oregon had more quality wins than one Michigan State. But Michigan State still, Michigan State is in the number two seed in the Midwestern region, in the Midwest region, with Virginia being the number one seed. So we're going to go over a couple of things before we get to the brackets. Number one, and I mentioned this about the leaking of the brackets. Story came out, and I didn't even know about this one. I knew about the Instagram leak. The bracket was leaked on Instagram. I saw it like midway through the CBS program. And the reason why I saw it, the reason why it jumped out to me, is because halfway through the brackets, I hadn't seen Michigan State or Kentucky. And the reason I bring those two teams up, because I was getting, as a North Carolina fan, I was getting nervous, because I thought about, you know, I thought there would be a possibility that both, that North Carolina could be in the same bracket as both Michigan State and Kentucky. I saw the bracket that had, I saw the last couple, the last two brackets, saw North Carolina's bracket, and then I saw, which other one that was leaked? The North Carolina bracket was leaked, and so was the, and so with the Michigan State bracket. Those two brackets were elite. Those are the ones that I saw on Instagram. Then I read, you know, you read on ESPN.com, or not ESPN, maybe it was CBS, one of those, I think it was CBS, that apparently the bracket was leaked on Twitter during the selection show on CBS. That's what happens when you go away from something that's been working for the best part of, 25 years in terms of doing just an hour show. CBS, you don't need to do a two-hour show in terms of selection. You don't. We get it. They're with TBS. They've been with TBS now for this is the sixth year they've been with TBS, so that's nothing new. I understand. I mean, trust me, they're going to see plenty of Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, and Kenny Smith. They're going to see plenty of those guys over the course of the next 3 weeks or so, up until, you know, the national championship, Final Four national championship games. So, you know, you don't need to see their analysis. They didn't need to be a part of that show. Okay, you could have waited until Thursday to see those guys. So, you know, you stretch the show out an entire hour, waste time just talking gibberish. Listen, we can get if a Kendrick Lamar album can get leaked on the internet, anything can get leaked on the internet with social media. It's just the world we live in. And it's bound to happen. And again, CBS and the rest of the NCAA tournament deserves the embarrassment of having the brackets leaked when they hadn't been released yet on CBS. They absolutely deserve it. They were absolutely asking for it. And now leaked by one social media, resource, two. Okay, so you had Instagram and Twitter both leaked brackets halfway through the program. Now, again, could it have happened if it had been an hour show? Yes, the possibility was there, but it's less likely that it would have happened over the course of an hour show versus over the course of a two-hour show. So, again, I'm kind of glad it happened. Maybe CBS next year can go back to it being an hour. You did not need a two-hour show. You just didn't. It was just a waste of time. Nobody cares about who Charles Barkley picks. Nobody cares about who those guys pick. You want to break down the bracket? Break down the bracket. Talk, you know, complain about the bubble teams. Argue about number one seed, stuff like that. Keep it simple. I mean, again, this process has been working in terms of the CBS election show for the better part of 25 to 30 years. You don't have to try to spice up the show. Just because the only thing we want to see is who's in and where are they going and where are they going. That's the only thing we want to see. Who's in, who didn't get in, the seeds. No, just keep it simple. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We'll be right back with the East bracket that's coming up and much, much more on this NCAA tournament edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. 347-215-6180. NCAA tournament, field of 68. Field of 68 is out. You'll have the first four. Of course, the first four will be started on Tuesday. NCAA tournament, the big tournament begins on Thursday. We'll begin on Thursday, so you'll have that. We'll go through the East bracket first. Of course, North Carolina, to no surprise, was the number one seed. Of course, when you win, it's pretty much automatic that the top ACC team, if you win the regular season and postseason ACC tournament, that you're going to be the number one seed in the Eastern, in the East region. Opening games are going to be in Raleigh, so North Carolina will have a major home court advantage with that. They will play the winner of Florida Gulf Atlantic and Fairleigh Dickerson, who had the playing game on the So they'll play the winner of that particular game. No number one seed has ever lost. No number one seed has ever lost. It will not happen here. Expect North Carolina to advance to the next round with a win over Fairleigh Dickerson or whoever it is, Fairleigh Dickerson or Florida Gulf Coast. So expect North Carolina to advance to the next round, to the second round, the round of 32, with a victory there. USC Providence should be a very entertaining game. I like Providence a lot. I know they kind of fell off a little bit in the last month or so, but they have two pros on that team in Bethel and Chris Dunn, who you can make a case is the best point guard in the country, certainly a guy who has a chance to be a lottery pick. I like Providence a lot. Big East was good this year. I think Providence is a very talented team. Again, when you have pros on your team, you always have a chance. So I'll take Providence in that particular matchup over USC. Didn't get to see too much of USC, but not, you know, they're not as talented as we've seen certain USC teams with like Nick Young and DeMar DeRozan. They're not or Taj Gibson. They're not as good as some of those teams we've seen USC have in the past. Indiana Chattanooga. A couple of people think like Chattanooga. I don't. Indiana had a very good year. Not a lot of people think Indiana was even misseeded being a number five seed. They won the Big Ten regular season. No, they got upset in the first round of the tournament or second round of the tournament against a Michigan team that was trying to desperately make the tournament. I'm not going to hold that against Indiana. I like Indiana in this matchup over a Chattanooga team. Kentucky, Stony Brook. I know the guy out of Stony Brook had 43. It's not going to mean anything. Kentucky right now is playing great basketball. They won the SEC tournament in a great overtime game with Texas A&M. Kentucky is a team that you just did not, if you were a number one seed, you did not want to see at all, like as a four seed. Especially as a four seed, they're going to be absolutely tough to deal with. A lot of talent. We know they have a lot of talent, even though they're not as talented as they have been in the past in terms of NBA pros. These are the type of underachieving Kentucky. Kentucky teams that are not highly ranked under John Calipari tend to be dangerous when all the pressure is not on them. Coming to this tournament, all the pressure will not be on them. I like Indiana. I like Kentucky to face off against Indiana in the second round in the East bracket. Notre Dame will take out either Michigan or Tulsa. I like Notre Dame. They're not as good as they were last year, certainly, but Notre Dame has shown that they can play with anybody on a given night, beat Duke at Duke, beat North Carolina earlier this season, even though North Carolina killed them in the ACC tournament. Notre Dame's Mike Bray is a very good coach. I'll take Notre Dame against either one of those teams in the tournament. West Virginia, Stephen F. Austin, Bob Huggins, again, excellent coach, has had some tournament success in the past with Cincinnati, went to the Final Four with Cincinnati, went to the Final Four with West Virginia, you know, a few years back and lost to Duke in that national semifinal. So I've watched West Virginia had a good win over Kansas. I know they lost to Kansas in the Big 12 final, but no shame in that. I'll take West Virginia to get to face off against Notre Dame. And then you have in the bottom half of the bracket, you have Wisconsin, Pittsburgh. To me, it's a toss-up game. Pittsburgh, you know, was one of these bubble teams that got in, had some moments during the ACC season, but I'll take Wisconsin's experience. Wisconsin's played well, especially in the last part, especially in February and March, mid-February, late this entire month of March. I'll take Wisconsin in that game over Pittsburgh, in what should be a toss-up game between Pittsburgh and Wisconsin. Xavier Weaver State, taking Xavier, that goes without saying. Xavier is a tournament-tough team that's had a lot of tournament success in the last 6 or 7 years. So that brings us to the round of 32. North Carolina Providence will be a very entertaining game. Listen, teams like Providence, a team like Providence that likes to get up and down the floor and likes to shoot, likes to score, that team basically has next to no chance against North Carolina. North Carolina, you have to defend, you have to try to slow down the tempo. That will be a very fun game to watch. That to me has like 98, 84, 81 written all over it. That'll be a high-scoring game. But North Carolina has too much firepower for Providence that has a lot of talent with Bento and Chris Dunn. Indiana-Kentucky will be the second-round game of the tournament. This game could go either way. I will lean towards Kentucky because I like how they're playing right now with their guards, with Ulis and also Murray. Murray has been great in the last half of the season. I would not be surprised if Indiana won this game. Indiana has had a very good year, won the Big Ten, an underrated Big Ten. I thought the Big Ten was strong this year, especially at the top. So I'll take Kentucky in a very close game, which and I think will be the second round game of the tournament. I like Kentucky to get to the Sweet 16 to face off against Carolina. Notre Dame West Virginia is a very tough match. It's a very tough game to pick. West Virginia is great defensively. Notre Dame, we know, can shoot the three ball well. I gotta pick one of these upsets. I'm taking Notre Dame in the ACC, playing the toughest conference I think in the country in the ACC. Even though I have a lot of respect for West Virginia, I'm picking Notre Dame for the upset, and I will take Xavier over Wisconsin. So we'll have a Sweet 16, Final Four of the East: North Carolina, Kentucky, Notre Dame, Xavier. North Carolina, Kentucky, again, two of the three winningest programs in the history of college basketball. The first and third, matter of fact, Kentucky's one, North Carolina's three. I'm taking North Carolina. Again, Kentucky wants to get up and down the floor. They want to beat you with athleticism and play and things of that nature. It's not how you beat North Carolina. You beat North Carolina, again, with tempo and with physicality. I don't think Kentucky's a very physical team, even though I think they're athletic. I don't think they're very physical. So I like North Carolina in that game. That'll be an exciting Sweet 16 game. I'll take North Carolina to get to the Elite Eight and to face off against Notre Dame. I'm taking Notre Dame. And again, this is a reach. It's a reach, but you know what? I'm taking Xavier. Xavier's been a tournament. I've just changed my own mind. Xavier has been a tournament tough team. I think this will be a close game, but I think Xavier has had some success in the tournament over years past. I'll take that tournament pedigree and have them face off a 1-2 against North Carolina. And of course, how can I go against North Carolina, against Xavier? This will be a very good game. Xavier has been, again, a great tournament team over the years. Always, whether it was under Pete Gillen or what Thad Bond, whoever's been the coach, Sean Miller, Xavier's always they always play well in the tournament. I will take, but too much North Carolina firepower. I think North Carolina has completely turned the corner. So I will take North Carolina to get to the Final Four out of the Eastern bracket, out of the East. Coming up, one bracket down, three to go, we'll have the Midwest bracket. In which Virginia and Michigan State are the two top seeds. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this special edition of the NCAA tournament bracket picks. Surreal Gerald Quinn will be right back. Special edition of Surreal Gerald Quinn with you on this Sunday evening, as we look at the NCAA tournament brackets, everything has been decided. It's just a matter of the first four games. That's what that will take place on Tuesday. You have in those particular games, of course, you will have Michigan and Tulsa. Playing one of those games, a couple of those games, of course, Fairleigh Dickinson and Florida Gulf Coast. A lot of people thought that Michigan probably was not going to get in. Michigan does get in, basically on the strength of the Big Ten. I think that's the number one reason why Michigan got in, because how good the Big Ten was this year. But they still have to play a play-in game to get into the second round of the NCAA of the tournament. So we'll see how that goes with that. Midwest bracket, Virginia's number one seed. A lot of people thought that Michigan State was going to be the number one seed, but again, Virginia had a lot of great non-conference wins, a lot of top 50 RPI wins, had a brutal schedule. I mean, Virginia played a number of teams, not only within the ACC, but you look at some of the teams they played outside the conference. So I think that was the difference between them getting number one seed versus Michigan State, despite the fact that Michigan State won the conference tournament, and despite the fact that Virginia did not win either the conference tournament or the ACC regular season championship. Virginia will play Hampton. Around these parts, Hampton's called the real HU. We know that's not to be true, but it'll be a short stay for Hampton. They don't have anything for Virginia. They expect them to advance on to meet the winner of Texas Tech Butler. I will take the pedigree of Butler over Texas Tech in the 8-9 game. That is normally a toss up anyway with these 8-9 games. Then you have Purdue versus Arkansas Little Rock. Don't know much about Arkansas Little Rock, but Purdue is one of the teams that I feel like is on the upswing. Purdue, Seton Hall, Kentucky were three teams that really stood out to me over the course of the weekend and watching them, in particular Purdue and Seton Hall. I was very impressed. Purdue easily could have won that game today against Michigan State, and Seton Hall was tremendous last night against a good Villanova team. I expect Purdue to advance on to take on Iowa State. There are a few people who like Iona, who will pick Iona to beat Iowa State. Iowa State has a lot of experience playing in the Big 12. I'm not in love with Iowa State, but I don't see them losing to Iona by any stretch of the imagination. Seton Hall, Gonzaga, a couple of people are going to pick Gonzaga. I'm not one of them. This is probably one of the worst Gonzaga teams we've seen in about 10 years. And truthfully, they barely got into the tournament. So they are not very good this year. I love the Seton Hall team. The white-haired kid is tremendous. I like how they're playing. I like they're an extremely confident team right now, and I just like the momentum they have going into the NCAA tournament. They will not fear anyone. Utah, Fresno State, take Utah. Larry Kostolnyak has done a tremendous job at rebuilding that program in the last couple of years. Of course, they lost to Duke in the Sweet 16 last year, and really played Duke tough, to be honest with you. I mean, really took Duke, played Duke as tough as anybody outside of Wisconsin in Duke's run to the national championship. Dayton, Syracuse, toss up game. I will take Syracuse because I think Syracuse, I always take the coaching. Boeheim, of course, won national championship, so I will take Syracuse, and certainly Dayton, I mean, could easily win that game. Michigan State, Middle Tennessee, Middle Tennessee will enjoy, the scenery for their first week, for that first day, but that'll be as far as they go. Michigan State will win that going away. So, Virginia, Butler, should be an interesting game. Butler, is the type of team that can, on a quick turnaround, that can give a top seed or a higher seed team some problems. I don't see that being the case. This is a much better offensive Virginia team. than it has been in past years. Virginia, I like Virginia a lot. I like Virginia a lot more than I have in the past, in particular, even 2 years ago when they were number one seed. This Virginia team can score better. They are an efficient offensive team. They still defend well. You know about Brogdon. Perentes can shoot the lights out. They have some bangers with Gill inside. I like this Virginia team a lot. I expect them to get to the Sweet 16, to the Sweet 16 at least. Purdue, Iowa State, again, I'm very high on Purdue right now. I've never been in love with Ohio State, with Iowa State. Iowa State was a preseason pick early on, top five, top ten pick. Really have underachieved, still very good. But this Purdue team has just gotten better and better. They have legitimate pros on that front line. If they get any kind of shooting, they are just going to be, they can beat anybody on a given night. Purdue can get to a Final Four. They are that good. I will take Purdue over Iowa State and have them matched up against Virginia in the Sweet 16. Seton Hall, Utah. I like Seton Hall. Again, two of the teams that I love going into the tournament are in this region, in Purdue and Seton Hall. I know Utah has the experience, but I think Seton Hall is hot right now. I like Seton Hall's guards. They like to get up and down the floor. So I'll take Seton Hall. Again, Utah is very good, as we all know, but I'm picking Seton Hall for the upset. Syracuse, Michigan State. Have to go with Michigan State. It's certainly not a vintage Syracuse team. It's, Jim Boeheim did a good job just to get this team in the tournament. So I have for the Midwest Final Four, Virginia, Purdue, Seton Hall, and Michigan State. I'm going with Purdue. I think Purdue, and again, I've watched a ton of Virginia games. I've been very impressed with Virginia, but I think the size of Purdue will bother Virginia a lot. I think that size will bother Virginia. And the fact that, listen, Purdue is not one of these teams that likes to get up and down the court. They like playing physical. They like playing half court. That will not bother them to play a tough half court, slow paced game like it might bother some other teams in the field. So Virginia will not have that advantage in terms of Purdue. That'll be a very good game. But I'm taking Purdue to beat Virginia and to reach the Elite Eight coming from the Big Ten. Seton Hall, Michigan State, very tempting to pick Seton Hall, but this is as far as they'll go in my eyes. I like the experience of Michigan State. So I think we will get a rematch of the Big Ten Championship, which was an absolute classic between Purdue and Michigan State. I expect the same result. I like Michigan State to get to yet another Final Four and face off against North Carolina, which easily could be a championship. It could be a national championship, but it will be a national semifinal. So Michigan State, I like North Carolina and Michigan State to get to the Final Four out of the East and Midwest brackets. Again, some dangerous teams in the Midwest, and especially in the East. In the East, I believe Notre Dame is going to be a dangerous team to look out for. We all know about how good Kentucky is and the potential they have to get to a Final Four if North Carolina were to slip up. In the Midwest, Michigan State and Virginia slips up. Purdue, Seton Hall could easily get to the Final Four if either one of those teams slip up. So halfway down, two brackets down, two to go. First couple brackets, I like UNC out of the East and Michigan State out of the Midwest. When we return, we will get to the South bracket led by Rock Chalk Jayhawks, the Kansas Jayhawks, and Villanova Wildcats. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NCAA Tournament Special. The NCAA Tournament Bracket Special. We'll be right back. (347) 205-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review as we look ahead to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, had some good games today on the conference championship games. Oh, the conference championships are very good this weekend. That Virginia North Carolina game was a high level, intense physical game. North Carolina, I'm very impressed with North Carolina in terms of being able to basically beat Virginia at their own game, defense and a slow paced game. Marcus Page just completely took Malcolm Brogdon out of the game, despite, giving up about 2 inches and 30 pounds. Brogdon, of course, is one of the best players in the country and certainly will be a pro, but Page just played was tremendous in that game. Very good game. The Seton Hall Villanova game was a great game to watch. Again, impressed by what Seton Hall was able to do against a solid, good Villanova team, though I'm never in love with Villanova because they find a way to, kind of come up short in the NCAA tournament with their lack of size. And yeah, today you had two excellent games with the Big Ten and SEC championships, Kentucky and Texas A&M going overtime, and Michigan State just getting by a good Purdue team that is going to be around, that could make a long run in the NCAA tournament. To the West bracket, Kansas is the number one seed. They should have no trouble whatsoever against Austin Peay team. Except Kansas is number one overall seed in the tournament, coming in deservedly. So Kansas this year was the most consistent team in college basketball. Had probably more top 50 RPI wins and quality wins than any team in the country. I'm not going to say they're the best team in college basketball, because I think North Carolina is top to bottom, but they were certainly at 30-4 the most consistent team from start to finish was Kansas, despite the loss to Michigan State early on. Colorado, Connecticut, toss up, but I will take the pedigree of a national championship coach and Kevin Ollie. Of course, Connecticut was able to get into the tournament, winning their conference tournament, which came in, was going to be a bubble team. Could have been a bubble team had they not won their conference tournament, certainly, but they are playing well right now. Beat my beloved Temple Owls in the semifinals yesterday. Listen, I won't ever, now again, we know this Connecticut team is not vintage Connecticut. They weren't vintage Connecticut in 2014 either, but I will never discount a Connecticut team. That could be a tricky second round matchup for Kansas. I don't think they'll beat Kansas, but they could, give Kansas a couple some problems. They'll be very well coached by Ken Lally. We know Bill Self can be shaky in these tournament games. These Kansas teams, no matter how good and talented they are, I've seen much better Kansas teams lose early in the tournament. Maryland, South Dakota State. I never understood why Maryland could not figure it out this year. They have NBA talent up and down the board. Melo Trimble didn't play well this year. Diamond Stone is going to be probably a top 10, top 5 pick. Definitely, certainly a lottery pick at worst if he comes out. Maryland has a lot of talented players. I think it's a case of Suleiman may have messed up with the chemistry, even though he's a very good player. Trimble up. As far as those two trying to play together. But this Maryland team, Maryland is better than a 5 seed. Now, I'm not saying they deserve to be higher than a 5, but they have Maryland has number 2, number 1 seed talent. So I expect them to get past South Dakota State and to face off against one of the most talented teams in the country as far as pro prospects, this California team. This California team is loaded, folks. Loaded. They have three first round picks, two lottery picks in terms of Ivan Rahab and Jaylen Brown. Those will be two of the top 10 picks in the NBA draft come this year. I like how California ended the season playing well. Remember earlier, I think the game was after Christmas. So around Christmas week, they played Virginia and barely lost, and lost them by 1 point. So this is a talented California team. If you haven't seen much of them, because they play on the West Coast, expect some big things out of them in this tournament. Arizona plays the winner of Vanderbilt, Wichita State. If it's Wichita State, be careful. Wichita State is very talented. They have a ton of, they still have Baker and Van Fleet, who've been in college seemingly forever. That could be a tricky first round game if Wichita State is to get by Vanderbilt. Miami and Buffalo, I like Miami of Florida. Miami of Florida, I know that they lost to Virginia. Miami of Florida had a very good year this season. They had some nice wins over Duke, also beat Virginia in the game. So they are an extremely talented team in their own right. Iowa Temple, Iowa's the better team, but listen, it's my alma mater. I have to pick Temple. I'm not going to pick against Temple. I'll probably pick with my heart, my head. My heart versus my head here. I'll go with Temple. Iowa did not play well down the stretch, though they had. Remember they beat. They took out Michigan State twice, so keep that in mind. But I had them losing to Temple. Iowa losing to Temple. No, you know what? I can't do this. I have to be honest with you. I have to give you. I'll pick Temple in another bracket. I have to be objective as possible, and that was not an objective pick. So I'm picking Iowa to beat Temple, and frankly, I'm picking Iowa to beat Villanova. I watched those two games where Iowa beat Michigan State. They beat Michigan State convincingly twice. Okay, twice. I don't know what happened at the end of the season. Maybe they got tired. Maybe they couldn't handle prosperity. But this Iowa team is probably a little bit better than being a 7 seed, playing a rough Big Ten. I'm never in love with Villanova. I never trust Villanova, ever. And I don't trust them now. I'll pick Iowa to take out Villanova in that second round game and have Iowa get into the Sweet 16. Arizona, Miami, Florida. This is not a vintage Arizona team by any stretch of imagination. I like Miami and Florida, and this is coming out the ACC in this particular game. California, Maryland will be only second to Kentucky and Maryland. Excuse me, Kentucky and Indiana in terms of being the best second round game of the tournament, or round of 32. I know second round technically is called the first round because of the first four playing games, but in terms of round of 32 games, this would be the second best as far as I'm concerned. A toss up game. Two very talented teams who have NBA prospects abound, galore. I will take California because I think California has been more consistent. You don't know which Maryland team is going to show up. You really don't. So I'll take California, though you will not be least bit surprised if Maryland wins that game. Kansas, Connecticut, we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. I'll take Kansas. Because I don't think Connecticut has any pros on it. This is not a talented Connecticut team. They really don't have one player that can scare you. But again, they have a tremendous coach in Kevin Ollie, and they're playing well right now. But I think Kansas has a little bit too much firepower for them. Kansas, California. I like California in this game. I think this is where Kansas gets picked off. I guess a team that, like I said, has three, to me, first-round picks. I've never been in love. Even though Kansas is playing well down the stretch, I know played in a lot of people believe the Big 12 was the best conference this year. I don't. But still, it's a tough conference. Kansas won it for the umpteenth straight year, whatever. They're always in the Big 12. But, again, I've seen a lot better Kansas teams go down early in the tournament. California is just one of these teams that I feel like is going to have a breakout tournament team. I could be dead wrong, but again, I like California's talent. I like California's talent a lot. And Konzo Martin, of course, coaching. So I will take California to upset Kansas in that matchup. Miami, Florida versus Iowa. I'll take Miami and Florida to get to the Elite Eight, and then California versus Miami, Florida could go either way. I will take California to get to the Final Four. So three brackets down, two to go, one to go. This is the first bracket I had. I mean, listen, I've never been in love with Kansas in these tournaments. They either are a classic case of hit or miss. Self can be shaky in these tournament games. I don't know. Listen, this bracket is a tough bracket. It's not an overly tough bracket. I don't think there's one bracket that jumps out, to be honest with you. I think North Carolina probably has the toughest bracket, having Kentucky, Indiana, Xavier, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. But I don't think there's one bracket that's just completely stacked. I think the committee did do a very good job at balancing the brackets for the most part. I don't think there's one bracket that just jumps out to me at all. But I will take California in this bracket to take out Miami and Florida. California, of course, is a 4 seed. When we return, we will complete the brackets, we will go west and talk about Oklahoma. And we'll talk about Oklahoma and Oregon. Oregon, of course, is the number 1 seed in the Western bracket. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Cereal Journal Coin Review. Stay with us. (347) 215-6180 is the call number as we look ahead towards the up-and-coming NCAA tournament. Brackets are out. Of course, one of the big stories that you're going to hear tomorrow is how the bracket was leaked during the CBS broadcast, and rightfully so. It's just an absolute embarrassment to CBS and college basketball that the bracket was leaked during the time where nobody outside of CBS should know about the brackets, but leaked not on one, but two social media websites in Twitter and Instagram. I saw the Instagram one for myself, and it came out later in the ESPN report that was leaked on our Twitter as well. So pretty embarrassing for CBS, but that's what they get for showing and having a two-hour program when it's been fine that the program has been at just 1 hour for basically the past 30 years or so. But that is, again, CBS getting greedy and basically just doing too much as far as with the selection show. Keep it simple and just tell us, give us a team, give a couple comments and keep it moving. West bracket, Oregon to no one's surprise, number 1 seed. Kind of under the radar this year as far as how good they were. They really picked up steam in the last month or so. Oregon will face the winner. I'm looking at these teams here. Oregon, of course, will face the winner of, they have this 8 of Holy Cross and Southern. It doesn't matter. They'll beat either one of those teams down. Again, Holy Cross Holy Cross gets in with their run they had in the conference tournament. It doesn't matter. Either one of those teams is going to beat Oregon. St. Joe's, Cincinnati, Phil Martelli has a very good St. Joe's team. Cincinnati, not a vintage Cincinnati team by any stretch of imagination. I'll take St. Joe's in that matchup. Martelli's a very good coach, and they certainly had that great run in 2004, taking the team all the way to the Elite Eight before they lost to Oklahoma State. Baylor, Yale. Baylor had a nice year in the Big 12. Don't know much about Yale. I'll take Baylor in that game, though. There have been a couple people early on who think Yale could give them problems. Duke and North Carolina Wilmington, not a vintage Duke team. We know they are not deep at all. Still have some great individual talent. Brandon Ingram is going to be a top 2 pick in the draft. Grayson Allen, love him, hate him, is talented. Kennard can shoot the ball. Got Plumlee in the middle, who can be tough. Yeah, not a vintage Duke team, but has shown you with wins at Virginia and North Carolina that on a given night, Duke can play with anybody. On a given night, beat Indiana as well. So, you can never completely dismiss a Mike Krzyzewski coach team. Texas, Northern Iowa. Remember, Northern Iowa, both these teams what both these teams have in common, they both beat North Carolina early on. Texas' victory was more impressive because they did it with a healthy North Carolina. Remember, Northern Iowa, Marcus Paige did not play in that particular game. Regardless, it should be a very good game. I'll take Texas. Shaka Smart is a tremendous coach. In 1 year, he has already, to me, got Texas headed in the right direction. So I think it should be a very competitive game. But ultimately, I like Texas and their athleticism to win out. Texas A&M and Green Bay, I'll take Texas A&M. In that particular matchup. Oregon State VCU. I like VCU. They have tournament pedigree. Oregon State is just happy to be in the tournament as a 7 seed. And of course, Oklahoma taking on California, Bakersfield. They'll enjoy the hotel rooms and then be perceived to be, get their heads handed to them by the Sooners. VCU Oklahoma, I like Oklahoma in that matchup. Not a Bennett's VCU team by any stretch. Just did an excellent job just to get into the tournament. Texas A&M could be interesting. I'm not high on Texas A&M at all, despite the fact that they have beaten Kentucky. I've seen Texas a couple times, been impressed with them. I'll take Texas in that matchup because of the coaching with Shaka Smart, who, of course, led VCU to a Final Four a few years back. Duke-Baylor, I know Duke is thin this year. In recent memory, Duke teams that undermanned have not played well in the NCAA tournament. I'll take Baylor to beat Duke because I think Duke is undermanned. That quick turnaround, I think that quick turnaround will hurt them, especially with their depth. So I will take Baylor to beat Duke in that particular matchup. Oregon, St. Joe's. I like Oregon in this matchup, though. I am not by any stretch of the imagination high on Oregon. I don't like these new teams coming out of nowhere with no pedigree for winning in the NCAA tournament whatsoever. Again, I just haven't seen enough out of St. Joe's for me to have them pick them to beat the Oregon team, but don't be surprised that Oregon St. Joe's game is close. Again, I don't completely trust Oregon at all. Oregon Baylor, I'm taking Baylor in this matchup. Baylor having played in the Big 12 conference. Again, Oregon not having been this far in the past NCAA tournaments. I gotta see them on the big stage. I will take Baylor in that matchup. Texas, Oklahoma, I'll take Buddy Hill. Give me the best player, and that's Buddy Hill. And I'll take Oklahoma versus Baylor, and Oklahoma will certainly beat Baylor and get to the Final Four. So in my Final Four, I have North Carolina as a 1 versus Michigan State as a 2, California as a 4 versus Oklahoma as a 2 seed. When we return, I will conclude my picks with the Final Four picks and the map and your national championship. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the NCAA Tournament Special featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Jarrell Court Review, as we look at and discuss the NCAA tournament, the brackets, of course, are out. And we mentioned this, I can't mention enough how embarrassed CBS has to be by the brackets being leaked on both Instagram and Twitter. So you had that happen. Monmouth doesn't get in. I know a lot of people, especially from New Jersey, and a lot of people who were entertained by their bench and their antics, which is hilarious at times, especially earlier in the season when they had some good victories over UCLA. And Notre Dame did not get in. But I can't go too crazy. Oh, Monmouth's not getting in. I'm just sorry. They're Monmouth. So, I understand they played 13 road games. I understand they had a couple of nice victories. Remember, the UCLA and Georgetown victories, not as impressive this year as they would be in past years. Both Georgetown and UCLA were horrible this year. Okay? So those victories don't carry the same weight as they would in normal years. Notre Dame victory was a great victory, but that UCLA and Georgetown victory, those two wins don't just they just don't carry any weight, not much weight considering those two teams both had, not only didn't make a tournament, but they had losing records. So I can't. There's no teams that I'm not going too crazy about. A San Diego State or a Monmouth or a certain a couple of those teams not getting in. I thought the committee for the most job did a good job with, in terms of teams of who got in versus who didn't get in. Some of the seeding was kind of suspect. By any stretch of imagination, I don't think Kentucky's a four. I thought Kentucky could have been a three. Should have been a three. And I don't think Texas A&M should have been. I don't think A&M should have been seeded over Kentucky. Kentucky beat A&M in the conference championship, and they both shared the SEC championship. So it's not like a situation where you could say A&M won the regular season, but Kentucky won the tournament. And I always took more stock in what happens in the regular season than a three-game tournament. So in my Final Four, I have Oklahoma taking on Cal, North Carolina taking on Michigan State. Oklahoma-Cal, I like Oklahoma in that game. Again, best player. They had the best player in the country in Buddy Hield. Experience against a young Cal team, which I think will just be happy to get to the Final Four. So I'll take Oklahoma in that matchup. And in the matchup that could easily be a national championship game, a game that, if it does happen, will certainly be the second of the two games, North Carolina and Michigan State, Roy Williams, Tom Izzo, Roy Williams is already in the Hall of Fame. Tom Izzo will join him soon enough, if not next year, this year. North Carolina, I like North Carolina in that game. I think, again, I don't see Michigan State slowing down the tempo. I think Michigan State likes to run as well. But let's just be honest. North Carolina always beats Michigan State. Roy Williams owns Tom Izzo since he became coach at North Carolina. So I don't see that changing, to be honest with you. That would be a great game to watch. But I'll take North Carolina and the size and up-tempo and the recent play of Marcus Payne over a very, very good Michigan State team and Denzel Valentine, who certainly will be the best player on the floor in that matchup, but I don't think it'll be enough. So Oklahoma and North Carolina for the championship, and a little bit of, last time North Carolina won a championship, they had to go through Oklahoma and Michigan State. So I have some, little bit of, some similarities going as North Carolina fan. Remember, 2009, North Carolina beat Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma in the Elite Eight, that late Griffin-led Oklahoma team. And then they beat Michigan State in the national championship game in 2009. This year, they'll do it in reverse order, as I have them beating Michigan State in the national semifinal, and I will have them beating a very good Oklahoma team in the championship. Listen, I have not been high on North Carolina all season long as a North Carolina fan. I watched them, underachieve. I watched them play lazy basketball. I watched them just, annoy me to no end, especially that Duke game. The Duke loss at Chapel Hill was just, to me, the low point by far of the season as a North Carolina fan. But when I saw in the ACC tournament, I saw a team finally get committed to playing championship-level defense. That Notre Dame game was a clinic. We know how deep they are. We know what Bryce Johnson can do, what Isaiah Hicks, can do. I like Joe Barry, Pinson, Marcus Page has, you know, started playing better. I like Nate Britt to make up, but if they can get any outside shooting out of Barry, Britt, and Page, then I think from top to bottom they are the best team in the country. Again, they lost six games, so this is not by any stretch of imagination is this team as good as the 2009 national championship team. Matter of fact, they're not as good as 2011, 2012 teams that made it to back-to-back Elite Eights who, you know, had injuries. Who in 2012, maybe if Kendall Marshall is not hurt, would have been challenged Kentucky for a championship that year. So they're not as good as those teams, but they are very good. And preseason number one, I think they cut down the nets. Roy Williams gets his championship number three, and they beat a very good Oklahoma team led by Buddy Hill, who will probably be player of the year when it's all said and done. So, Final Four, I have North Carolina winning it all, beating Oklahoma. I have Cal versus Oklahoma, North Carolina versus Michigan State. Again, I have a one, two twos, and a four. I don't think there's any way, in my opinion, that you will see multiple ones in the tournament in the Final Four. Matter of fact, I would not be surprised if not one of the number one seeds got to the Final Four, to be honest with you. Like, there could be a scenario where Kentucky beats North Carolina and gets to the Final Four. I mean, that could happen. That's definitely without question on the table. But I have to be real, even though I'm a North Carolina fan, I have to just be honest about that. Kentucky is a talented team. Athleticism, a coach has been there before. As far as knowing how to coach in the tournament, even though I'm not a huge Cal Perry fan, he does well with these particular teams. And his teams aren't loaded with NBA draft picks. He kind of, you know, does well with those particular teams in terms of getting the most out of them and overachieving. He struggles, but he tends to struggle with the teams that have lottery picks up and down the board. Besides 2012 with Anthony Davis and Kidd Gilchrist. So, you know, you try to make sense of that. I can't make sense of it. But then we know how dangerous Kentucky is. Like I said earlier, in terms of teams that are on the upswing right now to watch out for, Purdue, Seton Hall are two teams, and Cal are three teams you should watch out for. Those are three teams that Purdue has size. They have some three-point shooting. They're a veteran team. They're physical. That's a team that, you know, you're not going to see that kind of size just on around the country a lot. Seton Hall has a dynamic play in Whitehead. They are fearless. They just came off a great Big East tournament beating Villanova. And Cal has a number of NBA pros on their team. Three NBA pros, two lottery picks, and Ivan Rayab and Jalen Brown. That's the type of team that can bother anybody on a given night in the NCAA tournament. Not too many teams are loaded with first-round picks or multiple first-round picks for that matter. So those are a couple teams that you can keep your eyes on. Kansas, Villanova, Virginia, those are teams that have been notorious for struggling early. Kansas, Virginia, and Villanova are teams that have struggled early on. Only that have been great in the regular season and struggled in the tournaments, and keep your eyes on that as well. So that's going to wrap it up in this latest edition of Cyril Quinn Review. I will see you next time. Have a great week. Have a great Sunday night. So long.